and welcome to Lakeshore Updates. I'm Dee Dodson. On this edition of the podcast, you'll hear the latest on the State Board of Education ending its takeover of Gary's Theodore Roosevelt College and Career Academy. Governor Eric Holcomb unveiled his 2020 agenda in his State of the State address. And Chris Nolte has a conversation with Valparaiso University Executive Director of Intercultural and International Engagement, Byron Martin. All of that and more on this edition of Lakeshore Update. The State Board of Education ended the takeover of Gary's Theodore Roosevelt College and Career Academy Wednesday without much discussion during its regular meeting. The intervention of the school was approved in 2011 due to years of chronic academic failure. In March 2019, water pipes burst during a sub-zero winter storm and caused more than $10 million in damages at the school and resulted in the school's closing. Roosevelt students now attend class in the Gary Area Career Center, but that location won't be available for Roosevelt students after this academic year. Last month, Edison Learning Leaders said they had plans to repair the Roosevelt building with $25 million in private funds and transform it into a K-12 environmental studies charter school. Tony Walker, a board member from Gary, said it was time for the school to return to control of the Gary Community School Corporation and let its leaders decide what's best for the students. The board voted 10-0 to immediately return the school to the district. State Superintendent Jennifer McCormick says even though the Gary Schools District is under its own intervention for finances, the state board should no longer be involved in Roosevelt.
I've been to Gary. I understand the facility issues. I also understand Gary Community Schools still has a long way to go. But I think for right now, for where we are with that partnership, it's the right move.
Theodore Roosevelt has been operated by the Florida-based Edison Learning since mid-2012. You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dodson. Both chambers of the General Assembly approved legislation Monday to press pause on state school accountability as Hoosiers transition to a new state exam. States and school officials have called for the home harmless measure since last fall after results from the new iLearn test showed a significant drop in student achievement. Lawmakers in both the House and Senate have now approved identical pieces of the legislation. It will allow schools to use their state letter grades from 2017-2018 until next school year. Under the proposal, school districts that would receive a better letter grade on the state system can still receive one. But schools that would receive a lower grade won't be penalized and instead can use 2018 letter grades. Schools will also still be rated under the federal accountability system. Lawmakers in the House also approved a second bill to separate teacher evaluations from student test scores on the state level permanently. It now goes to the Senate for consideration. You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dodson. Indiana University has developed a tool for the federal government to help developers invest in opportunity zones that are supposed to boost low-income areas. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Samantha Horton reports, while some say the zones don't help those in need, one federal official says the tool will help areas in critical need.
The web-based map shows the median income, population, and much more in each area across the country. These opportunity zones have come under scrutiny after some developers invested in up-and-coming areas or built luxury apartments instead of low-income housing. U.S. Assistant Secretary of Commerce for Economic Development John Fleming says he doesn't believe the tool will be misused.
They're going to be looking for low-hanging fruit, of course. But as they improve and come up with better and better business models, I think you'll see that their investments as they grow more comfortable with this concept, will go into more and more challenging areas.
Fleming says he believes the tool will make data more easily available and help draw more private investment into opportunity zones. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Samantha Horton.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson. The Indiana Black Legislative Caucus wants the state to push forward measures that will improve prescription drug costs, children's health, and jail overcrowding. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandi Smith reports on the IBLC's 2020 legislative agenda.
Representative Robin Shackelford, head of the Black Caucus, says rising health care costs are a pervasive problem throughout Indiana and particularly in minority communities. To help address that, she wants to cap the amount insurance companies can charge for a 30-day supply of insulin at $100.
1 in 4 diabetics are sharing their insulin. They're not taking their insulin.
Another Black Caucus priority would require lead testing in all Lake County schools, a region experiencing a lead contamination crisis. Senator Lonnie Randolph says lead exposure has effects far beyond the individual child.
It hurts the development. When you talk about mental illnesses, disruption in classrooms.
Caucus members acknowledge their priorities might not pass this session, but emphasize the importance of initiating debate. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith at the State House.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson. Governor Eric Holcomb proposed a new plan to free up state dollars for teacher pay in his State of the State address Tuesday. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandi Smith reports that plan could be implemented this year, but Holcomb wants to wait for 2021.
Republicans insist that further efforts to boost educators' salaries must wait until the 2021 budget session. Holcomb's new plan, targeted for next year, would use one-time dollars to pay down part of a teacher pension fund.
In turn, $50 million a year will be generated to redirect to teacher pay.
The governor also has a new plan to make adoptions easier and quicker. He's creating an adoption unit, a first for Indiana, at the Department of Child Services.
Whose sole purpose and focus will be assisting family case managers with finding permanent homes for children.
Administration officials say the new adoption unit should be up and running this year. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith at the State House.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson. Indiana Chief Justice Loretta Rush issued a call to arms for everyone involved in the state's justice system in her annual State of the Judiciary address Wednesday. Rush hailed much of the work that's already been done in Indiana, from problem-solving courts to improved court technology to pretrial and criminal justice reform. But she also urged the state to push further in those efforts.
Some people need to be incarcerated. More people just need help. A strong justice system must do both.
Rush says one glaring area of need is legal aid. Too many people, she says, go unrepresented in court.
I recently spent a morning in small claims court. This morning's docket, and this was just the morning docket, had 275 eviction cases. None of the defendant tenants had representation, not one. They all faced the judge and opposing lawyer alone.
Rush asked lawmakers to boost funding for legal aid services.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson.
A Senate committee Wednesday passed its own version of a bill to raise the legal smoking and vaping age from 18 to 21. The Senate bill differs slightly from its House counterpart. Both measures create harsher penalties on retailers who sell tobacco products to underage buyers, something Indiana State Medical Association President Lisa Hatcher says is vital.
3 out of every 4 children less than 18 years of age who attempted to purchase tobacco products were able to do so. We need to let our retailers know that this is just not acceptable.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson.
Here's Regionally Speaking host Chris Nolte with a conversation with Valparaiso University's Byron Martin.
We are going to begin some conversations that focus in on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, which is coming up next week, as a matter of fact. And the first one we talk about is from Valparaiso University. And the programs and celebration or convocation, however you want to put it, is entitled Our Time, and we'll find out more about that. Byron Martin is the Executive Director of International and Intercultural Engagement at Valparaiso University, and he is in the studio with us today. Byron, thank you for joining us here.
No, thank you for having me. I really do appreciate it.
Well, I like the way that I should mention, too, that there's a website out there on the Valparaiso University, Valparaiso University website, valpo.edu, that goes into great more detail about the celebration. And I like one of the front pages of the celebration says that Dr. King, of course, referring to Martin Luther King Jr., Dr. King once famously said, "The time is always ripe to do right." And as mentioned there about it being an often misquoted phrase, why would that be misquoted?
Well, a lot of times it's misquoted because people typically say the time is always right to do right, or it's always a good time to do right. But King was really, in that time, really talking directly about the fruits of the work that was happening during the Civil Rights Movement. And he was making a deliberate point to use the word ripe to signify that the fruits are always good when we're doing justice inside the world, and it's always the right time to make that happen. And so I think King was very specific with his wording, and sometimes we just misquote King to use it for our own good, and we don't necessarily always get the meat behind it. King was taking some time there to talk to the liberals and the moderates at that time that were telling him just to be still, slow down. You don't. It'll eventually come, right? Justice will eventually come. Civil rights will eventually come. Just slow down. You just got to give it time. Just give it time. You don't have to keep fighting. You don't need to keep marching and doing this work. You don't need to keep having these difficult conversations. Just slow down. And so King's like, whoa, no, the time is always ripe to do what is right. The time is always here that we need to be fighting for justice and moving forward. And so he was very clear on that in tons of his writings. We even get the sense of that with his letter from Birmingham jail that is so famous. And so King was really making a point there to encourage people that, hey, there's work to be done right now. And that's what we're doing with this day as well.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask, how does this fit in the Our Time concept with what's planned for this year's program on campus?
Yeah, I think right now we're sitting in a milieu in our nation where we need to rededicate ourselves to a healthy sense of our moral obligations and remember that justice has to be our guiding light. And it's our time to step up, especially talking to our younger generations. We're a university, so students are our bread and butter. That's how we exist. That's why we exist. And so informing our students, first and foremost, that it's their time, right? It's their time to begin to think deeply and critically about what's affecting the world and where these gaps inside the lived experiences of people in the world are coming from, and to do something about it and to begin to activate and to actually make moves to help shape the world that we're going to exist in. So when we say it's our time, it's each individual's time, right? Everybody's time is now to do the call for justice and to respond to it.
I know the program that's going to be happening, the convocation that follows the program as part of the day on Monday, January 20th, on the Valparaiso University campus, is going to start out with a lot of discussion, a lot of sessions getting together, people talking about these topics. Run us through the schedule and let us know what is planned to come up, starting in, I guess, with the welcome, which is going to happen on Monday morning.
Right. We start off every day with our MLK Day. We consider it a full day on, and so there are several events that folks can come and be a part of. We started 8:30 in the morning with a welcome that it is just acts as an energizer, gets people kind of motivated for the day. At 9:30, we go into our focus sessions, and we have actually five options for focus sessions that individuals can take in. And the focus sessions, the first three that you'll know, that you'll see on the schedule are representation and access, allyship, justice, faith, and forgiveness. Those three serve as kind of small TED Talks during this time. So mm-hmm. you'll get an opportunity to hear from several speakers during that time that are talking about the theme of that particular track. And then we have what we call our anchor speakers, our plenary speakers for each of those tracks that are content experts in those arenas. And we have some great speakers there. Representation and Access will actually be having our Chief Diversity Officer, our Associate Provost for Inclusion and Retention. Dr. Stacey Miller would be the keynote on that track. For Allyship, we have a avid thinker and community organizer out of Dallas that's going to be flying up and spending time with us for the conversation on allyship. His name is Russell Kirby. And then for Justice, Faith, and Forgiveness, we actually have somebody from here in Northwest Indiana, Reverend John Jackson from UCC Gary, that'll be the anchor on that track. And then we have opportunity for folks that want to engage in a training to know how do we have these discussions, how do we go deeper into these discussions, to join us in our Can I series that we host on the campus of Valparaiso University. Can I is an acronym for Creating and Nurturing Inclusivity, and it's a series that was developed by me and my counterpart Janelle Love, and we developed this curriculum to bring our entire campus through this series. It's a three-level series that they can engage in. We'll give you 1.1 on MLK Day that folks can engage in. Mm-hmm. And then we started this last year, but our K through 8 option. So we wanted to have an opportunities for children to actually engage at their level in these conversations. So we have a great K through 8 option that parents can sign their kids up for. They can go to the focus sessions, and then the children can go to the K through 8 where they'll be shepherded through some of this content as well.
So it sounds like you have the whole family involved, I guess, if they come over
for the
convocation later.
Oh, yeah. And then we have a luncheon, and so the luncheon is open to the community. It's only $12, and the theme that we're pushing at the luncheon is sustainability. So everybody has foods inside their lived experience that come out of a distressed situation, and so we're actually going to be featuring some of those foods, some of the tricolor potatoes. When there's a potato shortage, you just take whatever potatoes you have, put it together, and you make a dish, right? Like, we all have those dishes in our cultural heritage. And so we're going to be talking about that and talking about sustainability at lunch and what does that mean. And then we run right into our convocation featuring Dr. Imani Perry. And so,
tell us about Dr. Perry. She's a very interesting speaker, very, very knowledgeable in her own right. And it's great that you have an opportunity to get somebody like that to come to the Valparaiso University campus for a day like this.
Yeah, no, Dr. Perry is a huge get for us. Dr. Perry is the Hughes Rogers Professor for African American Studies and Faculty Associate in the program in Law and Public Affairs and Gender and Sexuality Studies at Princeton University. So, and her title is not even as immense as her work, literally. She's done some incredible things inside of the community there. And as a thinker, as somebody that engages the broader nation in what does it mean to be just, what does it mean to be a healthy community, and her influence on race and law and literature has just been through the roof. And so we're excited to have her. We're going to have her on deck with us that day and talking on our theme topic, Our Time, mm-hmm. as well as we'll also have an opportunity for folks to engage and buy her book, her newest book out. It's called Breathe, A Letter to My Sons, and that was just released in September of this past year. And so it's an opportunity to engage with her and the author, and that book is basically a letter that she's writing to her sons, and just things that she wants them to know, things that she wants them to feel and wants them to experience, but also things that she wants them to be aware of. And so she's an amazing author, thinker, and we're excited to have her with us to help encourage our community and challenge us through some incredible thoughts.
I actually had a chance to visit some other communities here in the Midwest and talk to them as well, or is this a first-time visit for her to this region?
Yeah, I am not sure. I mm-hmm. want to say I know it's her first time to Valpo, and we're excited to have her here at Valpo. I'd probably say probably her first time in Northwest Indiana, but I don't know how extensively she's been in this area. I know we were chatting not too long ago. We were chatting about some of her travels, so she's definitely well-traveled and been around and is a sought-after speaker.
It sounds like that this is going to be a very, very enlightening and inspirational day, to be sure. And it kind of leads up to the MLK Awards. Tell us a little bit about that and how it fits in with the program this year.
Definitely. I think we'll announce our award winner on the day of, during the convocation. But mm-hmm. our MLK Award is targeted for somebody in our community that is doing the work that Dr. King championed. It's about somebody that's going to come in and they're putting their money where their mouth is. They're putting their energy where their mouth is. They're putting their scholarship where their mouth is and pushing for justice in a really, really strong way. And so this year, I am excited about our winner and can't wait till our campus community gets to share in that as well. Our winner this year is doing work in this region that is literally shifting the way our region interacts, sees some of the least of these in our region, and the way they think deeply and critically, and doing that while also shaping the minds of our students to think and do the same thing. And so excited for our winner this year, excited to announce that.
Well, there were some great past winners, too, we should mention. This past year, 2017, it was Professor Heath Carter while he was here on campus.
Yeah, yeah. While he was here, we had Heath, who helped guide this process the last couple years. We've had individuals that have done things from an international lens, such as Chuck Schaefer, such as Hugh McGuigan. We've had ministers and great pillars in the community, such as Reverend Greg Jones, who has won before, and then I think of Lou Jean Walton, who has just done some incredible work in this area. All these winners are representative of what we have here in this region in terms of pushing for justice, right? We're not reaching outside of the region. We're not bringing somebody in. These are folks that are doing this work here that folks can come alongside and work with. And they're still doing this work. A lot of them are. And to tell you the truth, I think one of the greatest things that we'll have, we made an addition to this year's schedule, is that we added a play this year. So historically, we've done a movie before. We've done some donor dinners. But this year, we decided to say, let's be more inclusive. We want something that everybody could engage in. And we added a play, a very renowned play by Katori Hall, mm-hmm. Entitled The Mountaintop, which is a fictional retelling of Dr. King's last night here on Earth. It takes place at the Lorraine Motel, and it's about his experience basically encountering an angel in his presence, even though he didn't know it, and how it explains and really demonstrates Dr. King's humanity while showing how human he is. It also shows that folks that are human can do some important and necessary things in our world, and it really hits everybody where they are and pulls them to where they could be in a really strong way.
Do you think that, especially with this movie, or this play, excuse me, that's coming up as part of the program at Valparaiso University this year, do you think this is in part the way that Valparaiso University likes to get the community involved? I know a lot of times in a lot of communities, Martin Luther King Jr. Day turns out to be almost like a day of service, which is not quite what it is. That's more befitting to like United Way, where they get folks involved in the community in some hands-on experience of some kind. Do you think this is much different than that, maybe taking it to the next level?
Yeah, I think it's different. I think one of the things that we're very mindful, we're a very service-bent institution at Valparaiso. Our students are involved in several hours of community service throughout their time there. It's actually kind of sewn in to our presence there. One of the things that we have to take time and make sure we're doing is that we're having the hard discussions. And one of the things that sometimes days of service turn into is that we love to go out and do service for individuals because we're able to do it for them, and we never address what is causing the issues that's creating the situations that need the service. We never actually have a systemic conversation about what is actually happening that makes this service necessary and needed. Why are people not having the ability to have homes and affordable housing in Northwest Indiana? Why is that a conversation that we still need to have? You know, we can go out and do the Habitat, which is important work, highly important work. But if we don't actually take some time and have discussions about what's causing some of these issues, we're only going to be in a service mentality and we'll never move to a justice mentality, which is a recreation of the system and the structures that are propagating our society. And so that's what today, that's what this day is for us at the institution. It's a day for us to actually have those tough conversations that typically people shy away from.
Well, Byron, if anybody would like more information about the Our Time celebration, the convocation that's all going to happen on Monday at Valparaiso University, where can they find out more now?
Yeah, definitely. Please come to our website, valpo.edu/MLK, and it'll give you the entire schedule, allow you to hear more about our speakers, and register. Registration is free unless you're coming to the luncheon, and the luncheon is a $12 cost. But other than that, the entire day is free and open to the community. So please register and come on out. We just need the registration so we can make sure we have enough chairs in the room. We want to make sure we can accommodate all the folks. And so please go there and register. And if you have any questions, there's contact information on the site and you can get in contact with us and we'll answer any questions that you'll have.
That's valpo.edu. And you can go on there, look on the university website, and then you can find the specific pages for the Our Time celebration and convocation that is coming up on Monday. And Byron, thank you for joining us and explaining in great detail, certainly expanding on what the entire day, what the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day is all about, at least as far as Valparaiso University is concerned.
Definitely, definitely. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Byron Martin is Executive Director of International and Intercultural Engagement at Valparaiso University. And you're listening to Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio.
Regionally Speaking with host Chris Nolte can be heard each Monday through Thursday at noon on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, and streaming online at lakeshorepublicradio.org, where you can also find podcasts of the show when you click on the program link. For the latest in local news and information, tune in Monday at 6 a.m. for Morning Edition with local host Chris Nolte. Lakeshore Update is supported by the listeners and members of Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. Podcasts for Lakeshore Update are posted each Friday on our website, lakeshorepublicradio.org, as well as on NPR One. Make sure you search for WLPR and select us as your home station. Music for Lakeshore Update was written and produced by BenSound.com. For Lakeshore Update, I'm Dee Dotson.